Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
He sounds too much like John Lennon.
Who'd you expect him to sound like? Ringo Starr?
And Chad P.
The son of Ozzy and Harriet Nelson, obviously from TV. Mm-hmm. Nelson, do you remember them? Matthew and Gunner?
They had blonde hair. Those blonde chicks?
Yeah. They were guys.
Oh, okay.
Honest to goodness.
Class is in.
Hey, welcome to Rock School. Folks, my name is Joe Burns. I am a professor right here in the Communication Department, Southeastern Louisiana University. Sitting to my immediate right, a former student of mine and one who must learn. What's your name, kid?
Chad P.
Chad P. And you know what? I have to do nothing but thank Chad P. because every so often, I don't like to admit this, but every so often I go through these bouts of, I'm never going to come up with enough topics for this radio program.
And yeah, Chad's, droughts. Yeah. Topic drought.
Chad sits there and he goes, yes, you will. Yes, you. He sort of talks me back from the ledge.
Yes, we will.
Yes, you will, Joe. No, I'm not. I mean, it's almost like I'm the chosen one. Yes, I can't do it. I can't do it. Yes, you will, Neo. Yes, you will. And the thing about it is, then Chad sits down and he comes up, anything not to work, obviously, and he comes up with five or six topics and he sends them to me and they're getting better and better.
How
and
about that?
Today's topic comes straight from Chad.
How about that?
And I'm telling you what's wonderful about it is I love when a topic creates a real wide berth of music.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets us or gives us the ability to play people that we haven't played before. You know, because we played Ozzy four times.
Yeah.
We played the Boomtown Rats two or three times. Mm. I'm able to play five or six groups today we haven't played before.
It's the topics that only give you two or three songs that you got to worry about.
Yeah, and then you're thinking, well, how can I stretch this topic and sort of wink at the audience and make this stuff fit? So here's the topic.
What is it?
Famous parents.
I do remember sending that to you.
And I ran with it. I'm telling you, I started looking through all of my reference books, and I found it right here. There's the topic, rockers and rappers with famous parents.
Yeah,
and I
so mean, these are the musical artists that have famous parents.
Yeah, I mean, look at the list. I'm holding it up so Chad can
it's
see
a
it
big
here.
List.
It
Two
goes
pages.
On and on. It goes on and on. So everybody we're going to talk about today were people that have hits or are people that have hits on their own rights, but their parents were also in turn famous on their own
like
right.
A quick example for the audience.
Shoot.
Well, I'm asking
for me?
Yeah.
Let's begin with the first guy.
Okay.
Here's the thing about it is, sometimes I'm going to start each person by introducing the parent first.
Okay.
And sometimes the parent has the same name as the person who's going to be the singer,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they don't. And the people who don't have the same name, it's going to be nice because you're going to go, well, who is that? But when they have the same name, you're going to, okay, I know who you're talking about.
Right.
This person you might not be able to. The parents of this person are Ernest Gold and Marmy Nixon. Any idea?
No, any idea? No, none.
Ernest Gold is an Oscar winner for writing movie scores.
Okay.
He wrote the title songs for It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World and On the Beach. He's got an Academy Award. He's got three Golden Globe nominations. He's got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Okay.
His mother, Marmy Nixon, you remember Marilyn Monroe's Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend?
That's awesome.
She couldn't hit the high notes.
Okay.
His mother sang the high notes for Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, she was her stunt double.
That's right. She also sang for the people in The King and I,
mm-hmm.
because they couldn't sing.
Okay.
She also sang for a lot of the extras in West Side Story
because they couldn't sing.
They couldn't sing. And she was the singing voice for Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady.
Yay.
So these two famous musicians, they got together, and who did they create?
A son or a daughter?
A son.
His name was?
Andrew Gold.
Hey.
Andrew Gold created three or four hits, not a lot, but those hits that he created were huge and made him a ton of money. This was his biggest. From the 1976 album, What's Wrong With This Picture, famous son of famous parents, as we do it all hour long, Andrew Gold, Lonely Boy, Rock School. Gold on Rock School.
The pride of the Gold family.
That's right. As we talk about famous parents. You know, he also wrote the theme to Golden Girls, Thank You for Being a Friend. Can you imagine the royalty check that showed up at the Gold family household with that thing now in syndication?
His daddy said, that's my boy.
That's right, that's my boy. Here's a couple that we're not going to play. Ad Rock of the Beastie Boys is the son of playwright Israel Horovitz.
Okay.
Debbie Boone, obviously the daughter of Pat Boone.
Mm-hmm.
Carlene Carter and Rosanna Cash, the daughters of...
Johnny Cash.
Sean and David Cassidy, sons of late actor Jack Cassidy.
Okay.
And Sean's mother is Shirley Jones.
Hey, hey.
This one, we're going to play a song from 1994 from the album Longing in Their Hearts. Maybe some people can pull out the song from just that. The father, the mother is not famous, but the father is John Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt.
Well, you go. There you go. You can pull that one out. Now, who's John Raitt? Unless you're a fan of Broadway musicals, you probably don't know John Raitt. If you are a fan of Broadway musicals, John Raitt is one of the names. This guy starred in major roles in The Pajama Game and Carousel. If you purchase the records from them, he is the voice on, oh, man, Carousel, Oklahoma, and by the way, the soundtrack to Oklahoma is the very first platinum record.
Cool.
The Pajama Game, he was in Three Whistles for Jamie, A Joyful Noise. Now, to a lot of people who don't know Broadway, that means absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But those who do, that's, you know, really something else. He had a couple leading film roles in 1957. He was in the movie version of The Pajama Game opposite Doris Day. And he has a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame for live theater. So John Raitt, really big guy. However, you probably know his daughter, Bonnie, with the beautiful red hair and the slide guitar, the Stratocaster. You look at her, she plays, and you get that feeling. You know what that is?
What?
Love sneaking up on you on Rock School. On Rock School, that does love sneaking up on you. You know what's great about being a slide guitarist?
What's that?
Slides are normally made out of the top of wine bottles or whiskey bottles, so when you need a new slide, you have to drink. That's that's the high end of being a slide guitarist.
Bonnie Raitt was at the New Orleans Jazz Festival last year.
Oh man, she
or
can
year before
still
that,
play.
I don't know.
I mean, she can really rip. And the thing about it is, when a slide guitarist plays, they can make notes hang like that. And because they're not, when you play guitar in frets, those frets take the notes and they split them into half notes, half tones.
Okay.
But when you play with a slide, you basically eliminate the frets from the string. You can basically slide anywhere up and down the string.
Excellent.
So you can play quarter tones, eighth tones, and just move up and down the string in a perfect, you know, run of notes, an analog run of notes. And she has that ability to hit a note and then have it just fall away so beautifully. The control she has on the instrument is really wonderful. Not to just sit here and blab all over, you know, Bonnie Raitt, but she's really a wonderful player.
She is.
The topic today is famous parents. Here are a few more we're not going to play. Nana Cherry. You know her?
No.
Well, she's kind of a hip-hop artist, one of the early hip-hop artists. She was a stepdaughter of jazz trumpeter Don Cherry.
Okay.
Natalie Cole. She is the daughter of Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
Right? Harry Connick Jr., you've probably heard of him.
Harry Connick Sr.
Right? He is the son of Harry Connick Sr., obviously. And it says here, the once-indicted district attorney of New Orleans. Why you got to put in that? Once-indicted.
Because it makes it interesting.
Did he never do anything of worth? You know, only that he was indicted was the worth of the man. That drives me nuts. And I have a whole bunch more that we're going to bop through. This one will not take a whole lot of introduction. This young man's name is Jason Bonham.
Oh, I wonder who his daddy is. John Bonham, maybe?
John Bonham. John Bonham died September 24th, 1980. He basically drank himself to death. Mm-hmm. He put too much alcohol in his body, and his body basically said, that's enough.
But what a drummer.
Oh, my dear. Jason Bonham received the gene for drumming. He put together an album called, or a group called Bonham, and tried to create music that sounded like Led Zeppelin. The first album was called The Disregard of Timekeeping. I owned it. I don't own it anymore. I had to download this one. I don't know what happened to a lot of my record albums. I want to kick myself for getting rid of them wherever I got rid of them. This was back from 1989. They had one follow-up called Mad Hatter. That's pretty much it. He then started touring with Led Zeppelin, Jason Bonham, obviously, when Led Zeppelin reformed. But that first one, you're going to listen to it and you're going to go, is that a Led Zeppelin song I've never heard before? Because they really tried to copy it simply because they had Jason Bonham on the drums.
Well, yeah.
On the drugs. That was really a Freudian slip there. Here's Wait For You from 1989 on Rock School. Are you kidding me?
Hey.
Am I listening to Led Zeppelin?
If his goal was to sound like his daddy's band,
he did it.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, he really did. He even drums like his daddy, too.
Yeah.
That straight 4/4 beat with the nice solid fills in there. Jason Bonham, yeah.
I wonder if he plays with the logs, you know,
he
the
probably
big, huge
does.
Sticks.
It wouldn't surprise me. Now, he was also the drummer for that VH1 supergroup that was put together, Damocracy,
they called it.
Yeah, yeah,
with Ted Nugent and Ian and Sebastian.
Nugent met him at the door, and he's looking. He goes, "Jason Bonham, I salute the family." And my wife looks at me and goes, "What do you mean salute the family?" And I had to explain, "Oh, that's Jason Bonham. That's John Bonham's son." So we'll be back in 1 minute with Woodrow Wilson Guthrie's son.
Okay.
Any idea?
Arlo, huh?
Good for you. Coming back in a minute. We're gonna get on a train out of the city of New Orleans on Rock School. For the hour today, we're talking about famous parents. Thanks to Chad here next to me for coming up with the topic for today. It's a nice topic. Gives us the ability to play a whole bunch of artists we've never played before. This one, Arlo Guthrie. Chad tipped it to us right before the break. Woodrow Wilson Guthrie is his father. Obviously, Woodrow Wilson, named after the president. You know him better probably as Woody Guthrie.
Mm-hmm.
His best-known song, obviously, is This Land Is Your Land. He wrote it in response to God Bless America. Woody Guthrie didn't like that concept of God Bless America, God Bless America, and he said, well, why God Bless America? Why isn't this land my land? And so he wrote, This Land Is Your Land. The thing about it is, Arlo Guthrie also had a fairly famous mother. His mother's name was Marjorie Mazia Guthrie, and she was a professional dancer with the Martha Graham Company.
Oh,
so yeah, he had both parents, and he grew up through the folk movement with his father. So it was only fitting that he become himself a folk singer. The City of New Orleans is what we're going to play, a song about the train that starts in New Orleans and zoonk all the way up to Chicago. It's 1972 from the album Hobo's Lullaby. It was not, as a lot of people think, written by Arlo Guthrie. It was written by a guy named Steve Goodman. Goodman came and met Guthrie, played the song for him, and said, you have to sing this. And Guthrie said, yeah, you're right, I have to sing it. You would think that since it's become such a signature song for Guthrie that he has ridden on the City of New Orleans.
Never.
The first time he rode on the City of New Orleans, the actual train, was after Katrina.
No way.
It was done as a money-raising event.
Hmm.
So listen to it for what, you know, the people of New Orleans has got to be the 11 jillionth time. Arlo Guthrie, City of New Orleans, Rock School.
Riding on the City of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders. Three conductors.
Arlo Guthrie and the City of New Orleans on Rock School.
I love that
we
song.
Do Famous Parents. So do I.
I really do.
The folk movement. I'm wondering if I can get a show out of the folk movement.
Yeah,
could you stand an entire hour of that kind of music?
John,
or does it have to rock?
John Denver?
I don't know that I'd play that. You know, that when I hear that song, you know what I go back to? And this is really odd, the stuff that your brain sort of connects.
What's
remember
that?
The first time the Saints came back to the Superdome? They played the Dirty Birds and
they beat them.
And I didn't just beat them. They beat them up.
Dude, I thought, I literally almost shed a tear.
Oh, I'll tell you.
When I watched that.
Where I kind of welled up, and I don't well up. I don't. I mean, I can watch Lassie. I can watch Old Yeller and go, okay. But when Chris Berman, and this is really sad that this is what caught me, when it was over and the team had won and the city kind of for the first time really had something to go, hooray.
Yeah.
Chris Berman came on after the game was over and he said, good morning, America. How are you? We're in New Orleans and things are good.
Wow.
And I just kind of went, oh, that's great. Hi, everyone. I, you know, bring back the radio voice. So bottom of the hour, folks, do some business with you. And we'll get back to the music in a moment. We're going to play something by Neil Young next. And you know, Neil Young has 11 jillion songs. This is my favorite song by Neil Young.
Oh, cool.
I don't think he's done anything better than this in his career. My opinion. And it may be one that the uninitiated Neil Young fan hasn't heard. Website. Go see it. You can download every show we've done. Chad's in charge of the website now, and he's doing a fantastic job keeping it up to date.
Thank you.
Every episode in podcast format, put it on your iPod or other listening device and be smarter than the next guy. KSLU.org. Look for the Rock School logo there on the right. Write us an email. We get email regularly right now. No one's told me I've been wrong in a while.
Not yet.
If I'm wrong, let me know. Where do we go?
KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. We're getting emails from all over the place, especially now that we're syndicated in the wonderful city of Middletown, Connecticut.
That's right.
88.1 FM WESU Middletown.
And we're getting a lot from people who have music. They're musicians, and they're saying, play my song.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking into them. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Don't know. You know what I probably did was just made every musician in the world, oh, no! And we're probably going to be bombarded with music now.
Thank you for that.
Neil Young, the stump on Neil Young.
That's right.
Chadley.
Okay, Neil Young wrote a song right after the events of 9/11, pertaining to the events of 9/11.
I can already do it.
Do you remember?
I tell the story. I can already do it.
The passengers aboard flight United
93.
93.
They landed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
They came together and they overtook the terrorist that had taken over the plane.
Supposedly on the way to either the Capitol or the White House.
One guy that was kind of leading up the whole thing looked at everyone and said,
let's roll.
And
that's the name of the song.
The
moment you said Neil Young and 9/11, I could do it. Let's roll.
That's the name of the song. Now, that's not what we're going to play.
That's not what we're going to play. This is a song by Neil Young about friends who died because they were on heroin. And it's my favorite Neil Young song.
Now, who's Neil's daddy?
Neil's daddy? Boy, I almost missed the whole concept of the show. Neil Young's father was Scott Young.
Okay.
He was at the time, at one time, the greatest sports writer in Canada. He was the host of Hockey Night in Canada. Now, you think Monday Night Football was big in the United States?
Oh, no. Canada is hockey.
Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote for the Saturday Evening Post, Collier's, Sports Illustrated, and is the author of 45 books, including both novels and nonfiction books for adult and youth audiences.
Very nice.
This guy in the world of Canada is a very, very well-known sportscaster and author, and his son happens to be a pretty good songwriter
as well.
This is Needle and the Damage Done on Rock School.
Knocking at my cellar door. I love you, baby. Can I have some more? Ooh, the
dam- Man, that's good.
That
Man,
is good.
That's good. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. So often people will try to put together songs like that about drugs and loss, and it won't fly. That one just takes off.
Mm.
On Rock School, we are talking today about people with famous parents. Here are some more people we're not going to play.
Tell me.
Jim Morrison. His father, Stephen, was an admiral in the United States Navy.
Oh.
Nelson and Rick Nelson. Rick Nelson was the parent, or was the son of Ozzy and Harriet Nelson, obviously from TV.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson, do you remember them? Matthew and Gunner. They
had
blonde hair.
Those blonde chicks?
Yeah. They were guys.
Oh, okay.
Honest to goodness. They were the sons of Rick Nelson.
Uh-huh.
Mackenzie Phillips, formerly of the TV series One Day at a Time, she toured with the revamped Mamas and the Papas. Her daddy was John Phillips.
Okay.
There's also Wilson Phillips.
Yeah, I remember them.
Wendy and Carney Wilson are the daughters of Beach Boy Brian Wilson. China Phillips then is the daughter of equally dysfunctional John and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas. I got a whole bunch more here, and we'll see if we can't hit a few more of those.
Cool. Who's next?
This one's really weird. When I learned who her father was, I thought, I got to play this just so I can say who her father is.
Okay.
This woman's father is Ed Brickell.
Okay.
Can you do the singer?
No.
No? Edie Brickell.
Edie?
Edie Brickell and New Bohemians.
Okay.
Edie Brickell, by the way, is the wife of Paul Simon.
Oh.
She had a big hit with What I Am from the album Shooting Rubber Bands at the Stars. Her father is Ed Brickell. The Fort Worth Southpaw.
What?
Ed Brickell was inducted into the Texas State Bowling Association Hall of Fame in 1988 and is now a member of the United States Bowling Hall of Fame. Here is the daughter of the Fort Worth Southpaw, ladies and gentlemen, Edie Brickell on Rock School.
Thank you.
Hey, the Fort Worth Southpaw, ladies and gentlemen. Famous parents on Rock School today.
My daddy was John Bonham of Led Zeppelin.
That's right.
My daddy could bowl 300.
That's right. My daddy knew how to hit the button just right to get the woman over for beer. Here are some more famous parents that we're not going to play. Aretha Franklin's dad was famed Baptist minister Reverend C.L. Franklin,
cool.
who made about 30 albums of his sermons for Chess Records.
Cool,
how about
man.
That?
Hey.
LaVert. Remember the group LaVert? Gerald and Sean LaVert are the sons of Eddie LaVert, who was the lead singer for the OJs.
Okay.
Not bad. May May is a rapper. She is the daughter of Muhammad Ali.
Hey.
Terry Melcher. He is the producer of Paul Revere and the Raiders, mm-hmm. the Birds, and a whole bunch of others. He's the son of Doris Day.
Oh, rock on.
We're going to be back in just 1 minute. I'm going to tell you this person's name. You're immediately going to get it, and we'll play it. I'd rather not say it because Chad will blow it for me again.
I won't say a word.
Back in 1 minute on Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about famous parents, parents of famous rock stars. So fame, two times in a row.
Yep.
When Chad sent me the idea stating, hey, can this be done? Do we have this? This was the example that he gave me. The IE, do this. So Jacob Dylan.
That's right.
I can't imagine who this person's father might be. Go ahead and do it.
Possibly the son of Bob Dylan.
That's right, Bob Dylan. Now, he's the lead singer. He, not Bob Dylan. He, Jacob Dylan, is the lead singer of the...
Wallflowers.
The Wallflowers. One Headlight, really, their big hit back in 1996. Where has he been lately? He's gone solo. That's why you haven't heard from him a whole lot. Apparently, he's going to get himself an acoustic guitar and one of those harmonica stands around his neck and come out and, you know, and sing, I guess, you know, Rainy Women.
Yeah.
So, One Headlight, the big song, won two Grammys in 1998, peaked at number one on the rock charts, and was named Best Video in 1996 in a VH1 poll. This kid got the gene. He was, without a doubt, you know, the guy,
yep.
youngest of four children, born to Bob Dylan. Here you go, Jacob Dylan, Wallflowers, One Headlight, Rock School.
I know my music.
Yes, you do. That's a dobro.
I asked you if that was a dobro.
That is. That's a dobro. If it's not a dobro, I will be shook. I will be amazed if that's not a dobro. Maybe somebody has got a national guitar and they're playing it lying on its back like a Hawaiian flat guitar. But if that's not a dobro, I will be a little bit shook. There you go. Wallflowers, One Headlight here on Rock School. As we talk about famous parents, we're wrapping it up. We got time for two more, and Chad has told me to go quick.
Go quick.
Here are some more people. Carly Simon's father was the founder of Simon & Schuster. His name was Richard Simon.
Okay.
David Crosby's father was cinematographer Floyd Crosby. He actually won an Academy Award for 1931's Taboo. Paul Kossoff, the guitarist for Free. Mm-hmm. His father was David Kossoff, a British actor. Kim Wilde, we're the kids in America. Oh, whoa.
Okay.
Her father was a British pop star named Marty Wilde.
Okay.
Let's see if you can get this person's father.
Ooh.
Julian Lennon. Go ahead.
John Lennon.
That's right. Paul McCartney. No, it's John Lennon. And I used to love it when Julian Lennon came out, people would knock him.
He sounds too much like John Lennon.
Who'd you expect him to sound like? Ringo Starr? Of course he sounds like John Lennon. And by the way, no, he is not the son of John and Yoko Ono. He is the son of John and his first wife, Cynthia Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even want to get into how bad that marriage was. His godfather is Brian Epstein. He had two or three albums. The first one, called Velot, was the album that did anything. That was back in 1984. His nickname is Jude, and yes, the song Hey Jude is written for him. Julian Lennon, Velot, on Rock School.
Sitting on the doorstep of the house again to fall. Smile.
Lot, Julian Lennon, sitting on a pebble by the river playing guitar. He wrote that while he was recording at the Muscle Shoals Sound Studio. The people backing him up, the Swampers, if you remember our
backing bands.
Chad has told me go fast.
Really fast.
Everly Brothers. They are the sons of Ike Everly, a noted bluegrass musician. As a matter of fact, if you go to Drakesboro, Kentucky, there is a statue erected to him, Merle Travis, Moose Ranger, and Kennedy Jones. If you want to know what in the world Ike Everly is known for, he developed a method of guitar picking known as Travis picking, named for his cohort, Merle Travis. Who are Ike Everly's sons? The Everly Brothers.
Hey.
And we're going to finish on them. My name is Joe Burns.
Chad P.
That ends the Famous Parents Show. We are done. We gotta go. Class is dismissed.
Bye-bye love. Bye-bye happiness. Hello loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye-bye.